All right, welcome back to a special edition of the Between the Tackles podcast. Today we have on senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe, Ben Volen. Welcome to the show, man. Thank you for coming on.
What's up, boys? How are we doing today?
Doing great. Ben has covered the NFL for nearly 20 years. Has seen a lot of winning, covering the Patriots specifically and the league at large. One of the best in the business. Ben, I just wanted to ask you right off the jump, we're almost through this year one of the Mike Vrabel experience, and having covered Bill Belichick for much of his run, what have been some of the stark differences you've seen from a Mike Vrabel-led Patriots team versus a Bill Belichick-led one?
Yeah, I mean, totally different personalities. You can tell that Vrabel played for Belichick. I think the attention to detail as far as situational football and the clock and, Vrabel, when he was with the Titans, they came into Foxborough and played a playoff game. It was Brady's final game. And he found a loophole in the rules to burn like 2.5 minutes off the clock in the fourth quarter by taking like consecutive dead ball penalties or something that got Belichick irate and was like classic Belichick. So you can tell he learned, about the details of the game from playing for 9-10 years under Belichick. But I do think he's a little more intentional about, creating like bonds between the guys and him too. First of all, he swept out the entire leadership. If you were a captain last year, other than Hunter Henry, you had a bullseye on you, and they're all gone now. And a lot of them were aging players, but some of them were like, Kyle Duggar or Joe Cardona, the long snapper, who definitely had good football in them. But I think Vrabel was very intentional about turning over the locker room. And it's a lot of new leaders this year. Drake May, of course, being one of them. But, guys like Milton Williams and Robert Spillane. So this is really a new culture that they've set. You hear Vrabel talk all the time about wanting to get guys home and get coaches home so they can be with their families. You never heard that from Bill Belichick. So I think Vrabel, the player's perspective, he understands, where players are coming from. And that's the other thing, like pregame intros. Everyone remembers the Patriots' first Super Bowl, the 9/11 season. They came out as a team, and they've been doing that for 25 years, coming out pregame as a team. It took a few weeks into the season, but Vrabel was like, forget this. You guys work hard. You deserve to have, your moment in the spotlight. And so they switched to having one side of the ball or the other have the starters introduced individually like most other teams do. And I think that's just another example of Vrabel thinking like a player and knowing what kind of motivates these guys. So, it's little things like that. I'm sure there's a million more. Vrabel's had guys like he's been big about having guys stand up in front of the team and tell everyone like their who and their why, who they're playing for, what drives them. So he's just been very intentional about developing the human, bonds, player to player bonds, player to coach. And I don't, I didn't play for Belichick, but I don't know how warm and fuzzy that he always was as their coach.
Now, one question. So it's funny that one thing I wanted to ask you since you've been around the team this year, a player that came up big in the last game that kind of started the season that seemed like in Vrabel's doghouse is Christian Gonzalez. Do you have what was your opinion on how that situation played out with his hamstring at the beginning of the year? And or do you think that was more of a media much ado about nothing between coach and player?
Probably like in between. I do think Vrabel was getting kind of annoyed with how long Christian Gonzalez's hamstring was lingering. They didn't put him on IR, so clearly they didn't think it would keep him out the first four games. I don't know if he was like annoyed at the player or just annoyed that the injury wasn't getting any better. I don't think he was really like in the doghouse, but Vrabel doesn't really hide his intentions, hide his feelings too well. So you could tell he was definitely annoyed just that the fact that it took Gonzalez so long to get back on the field. But it's been smooth sailing since then, from what I can tell. And Gonzalez has had a very solid season. I think what's interesting is that the Patriots have trended more to being a zone coverage team. I think they were 75% zone coverage this year, which was about league average or even a little under league average. But still, when you're playing zone 3 out of 4 plays, that was a lot more than under Belichick. And I think moving forward, the Patriots are going to have a little bit to think about whether they want to make Christian Gonzalez a $30 million a year cornerback when they're playing zone 75% of the time. So he's an excellent man corner, but they're not always, utilizing those skills, as best they could. And, you know, so that, that'll be something interesting to watch for, because Gonzalez will be a free agent, or he can finally get an extension after this year, his third season. And a lot of the top players generally do after that third season. So I'll be interested to see if the Patriots kind of make him play out his contract. They also have the fifth-year option. But he's been a very good player. A little light on the high-impact plays this year. Marcus Jones, the slot corner, is really the guy that has stepped up with the pick sixes and really the big game-changing plays. But Gonzalez has been very steady in coverage, and he's definitely one of the five best, you know, man coverage corners in the game. It's just that the Patriots aren't playing it as much.
Yeah, for sure. I want to flip it to the other side of the ball, and a guy that you've covered, you know, for a long time, you know, with under Belichick, and that's Josh McDaniels returning to New England this year. Done wonders with the offense, done wonders with Drake May. What have you seen that might have been different for Josh McDaniels under Mike Vrabel that maybe did not occur under Bill Belichick?
I don't know how different it is. I was talking to a couple of the Texans coaches after the game on Sunday, and I said, what do you think of Josh's offense? Because he has been, you know, he took a year off and he studied a lot of offenses. And then if you look at his staff, not one assistant coach has worked with McDaniels before this year or even worked in the scheme before. So everyone is new to this thing. They were all learning it together. And McDaniels talked a lot about taking some from Thomas Brown and some from Doug Marrone and some from Todd Downing and just kind of blending it all together. But then when I talked to the Texans coaches, they're like, no, it's Josh's offense. It's pretty much the same. So I just think it's a really good scheme, and he's a really good teacher. You know, Drake May in his second year has really taken off. You know, the pieces around him are definitely better than last year. Having Stephon Diggs and Mac Hollins has improved the receiving core. I think the offensive line is better than it was last year. But Drake May under this offense is really thriving, and I've been blown away by how well just everyone on offense is playing, because like not only the coaches, but really none of the players other than like Hunter Henry or one or two other guys had any experience in this scheme. Drake May said he'd never had to identify a Mike linebacker before. So this is like old school football that a lot of these guys have never done before. But it's been gangbusters, and Drake May's a big part of it, but there are some throws, man, where Kayshon Booty or DeMario Douglas are like wide open. And it's just mind blowing that these are the same guys last year who couldn't get any separation. And we said it's the worst receiving core in the league. And now all of a sudden they're making huge plays downfield. They're getting open. So McDaniels, I can't sing his praises enough. I think he's done a tremendous job this year. And maybe he's just one of those guys that's better suited as a coordinator than a head coach.
But Ben, are you along those lines? Are you surprised at just how improved May has been? He came into the league obviously as a pedigree player, being a high draft choice, but the year one jump to the year two, or the year two jump from year one, has been so stark. I mean, I don't think anybody other than, you know, May's family would have said that he would be in the MVP conversation in September. So the fact that he has been so successful in year two with a new coordinator, you know, has that, you know, given you a little bit of, you know, like, wow, I didn't think that this kid had it in him that fast?
No, and I bet you if you held a gun to Drake May's parents' head, they wouldn't have put him in the MVP conversation back in September either. I don't think anyone expected him to play this well this soon. And he showed flashes as a rookie. You know, there's a great tweet that the Patriots put out today of Drake May's first career start was last year against the Texans, and they got blown out, but he threw a gorgeous deep ball down the right sideline to Kayshon Booty for a touchdown. It was literally the same play that they had to, you know, score the final touchdown on Sunday night. And Derek Stingley was in coverage on both plays. So, you know, Drake May definitely showed flashes as a rookie, but you know, in hindsight, it was really hard to gauge where he was because just, you know, the talent around him wasn't great. The coaching wasn't great. It was just not a good situation for a rookie quarterback to be stepping into. You know, and then even when they added Stephon Diggs and Mac Hollins and retooled the offensive line, no one thought it would work this well. I mean, when does a team basically bat 1,000 in free agency? You know, like, not everyone's been amazing, but no one's been a bust. And like every move they've made this offseason has pretty much worked out as well as they could have hoped for. So Drake May's been awesome. He's not just a caretaker, like, you know, he's completing 72% of his passes to lead the league. And usually when that's the case, it's a lot of short, you know, horizontal passes. And he is pushing the ball down the field. He also led the league in yards per attempt. So, like, his deep ball has been phenomenal. And again, Josh McDaniels has really taught him, like, how to read the defense pre-snap and where you need to go with the ball and where your outlets are. And then he's got great athleticism to escape trouble. That was the other thing the coaches, the Texans coaches told me. They weren't quite aware of how good of an athlete Drake May was until they faced him. So he's just been awesome. I think right now he's looking like the best pick, the best quarterback from that draft. And like, he's been so good. I have like this funny take that I'm like a troll take that I'm formulating in my head. Like, if Drake May ends up going to the Super Bowl in his second year, like, are we just going to say that Tom Brady was a product of Josh McDaniels? You know, this is really the system. So, you know, there's that famous quote from like Ian O'Connor's book or one of his articles that an unnamed Patriots coach thought they could have made the Super Bowl with like 14 different quarterbacks. And you know what? Maybe they're proving that with Drake May right now, but it's just been a tremendous, you know, marriage between Drake and Josh McDaniels. And Drake, for a kid who's 23 years old, I mean, he plays well beyond his years. He's a very intelligent quarterback. So it's been a lot of fun to watch this year.
Ben, I'm curious, how was he in the locker room? You know, I know different teams have different approaches to, you know, for lack of a better word, protecting the young quarterback. You know, I think back 15 years, you know, Mark Sanchez was essentially in bubble wrap. You couldn't even approach him in the locker room. Whereas, you know, Sam Darnold was a much more approachable guy in his first couple years in New York. What's the vibe in the locker room in terms of his approachability? Have you had opportunities to talk to him in private? Just what's your sense of, you know, his makeup overall?
I talked to him once briefly in private. It was actually last year when we were in London. He was getting dressed and I saw him put on a belt that had the Masters logo on it. I was like, oh, cool. When did you go there? He's like, oh, I actually got to play in March.
What?
Like, oh, that's awesome. How'd you get the invite? He goes, well, when you're the quarterback at UNC, you get the invite to Augusta. I was like, oh, that's a good answer. So he's got a little bit of cockiness to him, which I think is good for a quarterback. But no, he's been great. And he's really, really taken off as a leader, I think, in year two. You know, otherwise, I haven't really needed to, like, get him one-on-one. I think if you want to shoot the breeze with him in the locker room briefly, you can. He's a pretty humble guy. Like this offseason, he married his like girlfriend from sixth grade. So, you know, he's a pretty humble guy. He's the fourth, you know, youngest of four brothers. So he's been getting his butt kicked his entire life by his older brothers. And, you know, so he does his press conferences on Wednesday, very humble, very aw shucks. And, you know, I think has really done a nice job of being a leader this year. Last year was a little bit of a tough spot for him because he's the number three pick. Everyone says, okay, you're the franchise guy. But they also signed Jacoby Brissett, and he was the one that led the team through the offseason and through training camp. Brissett was voted a captain. So Drake wasn't quite sure, you know, how much he should try to exert his leadership. Now this year, Jacoby Brissett is gone. He's one of those leaders they purposely kind of swept out. And they also traded away Joe Milton, who was someone who was just kind of there as a little bit of an annoyance for Drake May. Like, Drake was going to beat out Joe Milton, but Joe Milton is a athletic freak, and his presence was probably not great for a young quarterback trying to be the leader. So they cleared the decks for Drake May, and I think he's really taken off this year as a leader. You see him speak up more. He's never had to duck anything. He's been accountable. Of course, when you go 14-3, there aren't too many things, you know, negative to talk about, but Drake has, I think, really spread his wings as a leader this year and has been a real humble guy. He's all for his offensive linemen. Like, he's always treating his offensive linemen like he's always doing interviews and inviting Will Campbell to join him. And when the offensive linemen go to a Bruins game, Drake is there in the back of the suite. So I think that's a good sign of a quarterback, a smart guy who knows who butters his bread, I guess. And so he keeps the offensive linemen happy and makes sure they get their due as well.
Do you know what he got his offensive lineman?
You know, I don't know. If they do these like Thursday dinners a lot of time, and
he got him Sean.
Week a different lineman picks up the check, but I know Drake took him out one time and took him out to a nice meal. And I know his wife; she's a big baker. Everyone in Boston is going nuts over her cookies.
Yes, dude.
She who's always baking them stuff. So it's like very wholesome, you know, like he married a sixth grade girlfriend. They bake cookies. Like it's all very wholesome.
Now, speaking of his offensive linemen, what's your take been this year on Will Campbell? And then this season, kind of this playoffs and going forward in his career?
I mean, he can play left tackle. I think he held his own this year. That said, I don't think it's totally settled that he's going to be a 10-year left tackle. I think they probably give him another year. You know, rookie season for an offensive lineman is tough because you go right from your college season right into the draft, right into being a pro, like no time to breathe. And you need to get stronger from college to pros. You see that all the time with linemen. That offseason in between their first and second year is really important where they kind of bulk up and they get stronger. And I think Will Campbell, you know, needs a little bit of work in that area. So I don't think they want to just switch him to guard next year. I think they probably want to give him another shot at left tackle. But I could see a scenario where, you know what, he's a league average left tackle, but man, he could be an all pro guard for 10 years. And so I think that's still in the back of their mind. They're not there yet. I assume they give him another shot next year because, like, I mean, Will Anderson just dominated him last week. That was not fun to watch if you're a Patriots fan. Myles Garrett, 5 sacks when they played against him. Most of them came against Will Campbell. So, I mean, those guys are elite. They're the all pros, but they're just, you know, making Will Campbell look foolish out there. So, like I said, I don't think they're ready to move him to guard, but I think that might be in the back of their mind, you know, maybe after another year.
But I think even if Will Campbell isn't a 10-year franchise left tackle, he turns out to be an all pro guard. I think the rookie class for the Patriots has been a success outside of that. How have you seen guys like Woodson and Travion Henderson coming up big in the playoffs, like Woodson having some big plays in the regular season, like Henderson? How have you seen these rookies come along, and have you seen a more mature take from these rookies kind of stepping right in and kind of seeing that maturity like you do from Drake May?
Yeah, definitely. Excuse me, guys. Yeah, the rookie class for the Patriots has been tremendous. I think the Patriots, their rookies accounted for like 21% of snaps, which is the third highest of any team. So they're winning games and developing young guys. Travion Henderson, the second round pick, a little bit of a slow start to the season, but he's been tremendous over the second half. I think he led the league in 50-yard touchdowns this year. So just a total home run hitter from anywhere on the field. And, you know, really a dynamic threat that they haven't had in the offense for a while. So really brings some much needed speed. And him and Ramondre Stevenson have been a really nice 1-2 punch. Woodson, the fourth round safety, is probably the biggest surprise. I mean, a fourth rounder, what do you expect from him as a rookie? Probably a special teamer. He's played, I think, the most snaps of any player on defense. I believe he started all 17 games. Mm-hmm. The Patriots had two quality veteran safeties returning in Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar, and they traded both away for Craig Woodson, a rookie, and Jalen Hawkins, a fifth or sixth year kind of journeyman guy. And both have been pretty solid this year. Woodson, especially playing that free safety role. He's been, you know, really coming on, and then had that good pick against the Chargers the other day. So, you know, a lot of pressure for a fourth round rookie, but he's handled it really well. You know, the third round pick, Kyle Williams, the wide receiver, not a high volume guy this year. He was kind of, you know, buried on the depth chart, probably fourth or fifth, but another guy, he's made some big plays. He had a 72-yard touchdown. He had another like deep touchdown, I believe, at some point. So he's got some speed, some catch and run ability, got his feet wet this year. And I think they like him moving forward. And then, you know, the kicker Borregales in the sixth round, he's been nails all season. He's been terrific. The long snapper they drafted in the seventh round, he hasn't flubbed anything this year. He's been great. So, you know, when everyone in the draft class is doing well, to me, it's a sign of coaching. And likewise, when the Patriots struggled so badly in the draft year after year under Belichick and then last year of Jerod Vail, to me, that's coaching. Because, like, the draft, you got to draft the guys, but then it's up to the coaches to find the role and to find how to make the pieces fit. And I think you're seeing so much of Vrabel's staff doing so much of a better job than that, than Jerod Mayo or Bill Belichick did in his final years.
I want to move it along to the AFC Championship game coming up this week. Obviously, they're going to Denver to take on Jarrett Stidham and the Denver Broncos. What are your keys to this game? Obviously, the backup quarterback is a big storyline with Bo Nix fracturing his ankle at the end of that Buffalo game. But what do you see as the key to a Patriots victory?
Yeah, isn't it amazing? I mean, all year long, people were talking about the Patriots had the easiest schedule. Then they get to the playoffs and they play a broken down Chargers team, CJ Stroud, who's like a total mess. And then they get to face Jared Stidham in the AFC Championship game. So they are just, everything's coming up Patriots this year. I think they got to stop the run. I don't think Jared Stidham's going to be lighting it up. I think they want to rely heavily on their run game. So Patriots run defense has been excellent the last couple of weeks, coinciding with the return of linebacker Robert Spillane and defensive tackle Milton Williams. Williams was out 5 weeks. Spillane was out 4. They were out concurrently. Run defense fell apart when they were gone. I think I saw a stat with Spillane off the field. The Patriots are allowing like 4.6 yards per carry. And with Spillane on the field, it's 3.7 yards per carry. So he's been tremendous. He's like a Tasmanian devil out there. So I think stopping the run will be key. And then, you know, they got to avoid turnovers. And that part of that is Will Campbell, you know, blocking it up a little bit better. But Drake May has got to be cleaner with his ball security. He's got, what, like 6 fumbles in 2 playoff games. He's lost 3 of them. I mean, that is not going to stand. And the Broncos have the same profile as the Chargers and the Texans. Excellent defense. Broncos led the NFL in sacks this year. Nick Benito, Zach Allen, those guys can wreck the game in a hurry. So the Patriots, I think they just need to be, you know, safe with the football and protect it. And as long as they can do that, I like their chances to win in Denver. But that is a Broncos defense that can wreck the game. And if Drake is fumbling the ball inside the 10-yard line like he did against the Texans, you know, that's bad news. Sean Payton, too, is a heck of a coach, and he's got 8 days to get Jared Stidham ready. So I think Jared Stidham's going to come ready to play. So it's not going to be a cakewalk for the Patriots. They're going to have to play a clean game, avoid those turnovers, and stop the run. And if they do that, I like their chances.
And I do got to ask, have you heard from Roger Goodell about nullifying the Broncos' victory?
I mean, they should. Who doesn't want to see Drake May versus Josh Allen round 3 in the AFC Championship game? You know, it's like a force majeure, like the best interest of the game. They should just put the Bills in the game. But the Broncos, like I said, they will come strong. I'm sure this is their motivating factor. Everyone's counting us out, all that stuff. So the Broncos will come strong. Sean Payton will have Jared Stidham ready to play. So they're not just going to roll over. But, man, I did want Drake May versus Josh Allen in the AFC Championship game.
Do you think, Ben, that the Patriots, I mean, obviously they prefer to play Jared Stidham, but let's just say in a fantasy world that Bo Nix did not get hurt and Bo Nix was the quarterback in Denver, do you think that the Patriots were, and maybe since you're around Patriot fans a lot, do you think the Patriots fans were scared of the prospect of playing Josh Allen and the Bills a third time this year?
I mean, the way I look at it is that was the one team I didn't want coming into Foxborough because, like, the Patriots' home field advantage is cold weather, January, the foghorn. Like, it gets on opponents, and you saw that with C.J. Stroud. Josh Allen is not intimidated by any of that, and neither are the Buffalo Bills. They do not care about cold weather. They just came into Foxborough a month and a half ago and overcame a 21-0 deficit and beat the Patriots 35-31. So when the playoff bracket – came out, I said, this is the best possible draw for the Patriots because not only do they get the Chargers in the first round, LA dome team kind of to come east and play in the cold, but they would have avoided the Bills until now, until the AFC Championship game. And so I thought that was the best draw for them. And then even better, the Broncos knocked the Bills out and then Bo Nix can't even play. So like everything's coming up Patriots, you know, rainbows and unicorns. So yeah, I think Buffalo was like, that to me, that was the worst opponent to face, even though they were the 6th seed. And so now you don't have to worry about that anymore. So thank you, Denver Broncos, from the Patriots perspective. But yeah, that would have been a great battle. And it would have been an epic matchup. Definitely as a journalist, that's what I was rooting for. But Broncos Patriots should be pretty entertaining too.
The altitude. We got to talk about the altitude in Denver because the Patriots historically have not performed well, especially in the playoffs going up to Denver. Do you see that coming into play here?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, the Broncos live in it and the Patriots haven't trained at all in the altitude. I think the organization is 0-3 in Denver all time, but you know, whatever, like none of the players now were in any of those games. So that doesn't really matter. You know, to me, it's like no different from having to play in Miami in September where the sweltering heat gets on top of you. Vrabel's not doing anything different because if you want to adjust to the altitude and acclimate to it, you have to get into town like 7 to 10 days early. So yeah. Vrabel's like, we would have done that, but, you know, we would have missed the game last week. So so they're just going Saturday and, you know, they'll get in. They'll be there for 24 hours and, you know, just hope that they can, you know, run up the score on the Broncos and that the fourth quarter, you know, doesn't come down to it. And that's probably a big reason why Bo Nix and the Broncos have been so successful in the fourth quarter is they do have that altitude advantage and they have a rest advantage too. They had that bye week. They're a little bit of a fresher team other than, of course, at quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, altitude definitely could be an issue. They remind you of the altitude at every turn there in Denver. You know, they have signs that say, warning, altitude sickness is real and welcome to Mile High. They remind you constantly that you're a mile high. But, you know, the Patriots are just – they're not going to do anything differently, and they're just going to try to ignore it, I guess.
Well, I think the Patriots are notorious for having a giant thermometer outside the visitor's locker room when they get how they get onto the field. So hopefully they're immune to mind games like that.
Yeah.
Ben, can the Patriots glean any real valuable information from – what Josh McDaniels has to offer on Stidham specifically because of his time, not only in New England, he brought him to Vegas as well. When you're in the quarterback room with a young quarterback, you kind of know what makes him tick. And I know, you know, a little bit of time has passed, but for the most part, he has a pretty good idea of what Stidham's strengths and weaknesses are. And can the Patriots tangibly use that to their advantage?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, Josh McDaniels definitely knows Jarrett Stidham very well, drafted him, spent 3 years in New England. And then, as you said, brought him to Vegas. So obviously McDaniels likes Jarrett Stidham. Sean Payton likes Jarrett Stidham. Sean Payton said one of the reasons they went and signed him was because he knew he got good coaching from Josh McDaniels. He knew exactly what he was being coached. So, you know, but at the end of the day, like, yeah, so he probably knows, yeah, you might want to flush him to his right or whatever. He's not great throwing against his body. So they do know little tips like that. But then Sean Payton knows what Jarrett Stidham can and can't do well. So Payton's going to put him in a good position to succeed. I just think the tough thing is there's very little film of Stidham. He hasn't thrown a pass in like exactly two calendar years, January 2023. That was with a different team. We haven't, you know, you've got a little bit of preseason tape on him with the Broncos, but really an unknown quantity other than what McDaniels has seen from him in practice. So good luck, Jarrett Stidham. He's the first quarterback ever to get his first start of the season in the conference championship game. So this is a very, very unique spot for him and, you know, a chance for him to kind of make a name for himself and carve out a little bit of a legend.
Do you think, Ben, that the Broncos have a real chance here? It's a 5-point line. I think the look-ahead line was something like Broncos minus 1.5, and now they're, you know, 5-point underdogs. And we can talk about all the ins and outs and X's and O's of matchups and you know, how the Patriots can cough this up. But at the end of the day, they are facing Jarrett Stidham, and he's a backup for a reason. In your mind, would it be a significant upset if the Patriots didn't come away and head to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it would be a significant upset, no question, but it could happen. You know, like literally my entire analysis from Super Bowl 53 back in the day was, well, there's no way Tom Brady's going to lose to Nick Foles. And I mean, Bill Belichick just isn't going to lose to Doug Peterson. And I mean, look how that turned out. So like, you never know. And Sean Payton is a heck of a coach. 8 days to get this guy ready for the game. So they're going to have a good plan of attack. And, you know, if the Patriots jump out to a 14-0 lead, I don't like Stidham having to carry this team back. But if it's close and the Broncos D keeps him in it, you know what? I absolutely could see the Broncos pulling this off. It wouldn't be like, you know, USA versus Russia hockey 1980. It wouldn't be that level of an upset to me. It would be an upset, but not crazy because they have a really good defense. A really good offensive line, two all pros in that offensive line and Quinn Meinerz and Garrett Bowles. And then Sean Payton's a heck of a coach. So the Patriots better get ready for a tough game on Sunday. Cause I think the Broncos are going to give it to them.
I've got a league-wide question here. You are an AP NFL voter. Some guys are sensitive, and gals are sensitive about revealing who they voted for MVP and Coach of the Year. Who did you vote for MVP and Coach of the Year?
I appreciate the question. They did ask us. To keep it quiet.
Come on, Ben.
I will say this: the All-Pro teams came out
right
last week, and I had Drake May as my first team All-Pro quarterback.
Wow.
I think Stafford had more touchdown passes and more passing yards, but I think in every other metric, Drake May was better. You look at all the stats, all the advanced analytics, Drake May was leaps and bounds ahead of everyone. His deep ball was phenomenal this year. And to me, quarterback is a position where team success matters. I think wins are definitely a quarterback stat. And Drake May went 14-3, one of the biggest single season turnarounds in NFL history, won his division, beat out Josh Allen, and Drake May was the driving force of that. So I think the numbers back him up, and I think the fact that he won his division backed him up. Here's one stat that I found on Matthew Stafford. I looked up most touchdown passes from the 2 yard line and closer. Matthew Stafford led the NFL with 11 touchdown passes from the 2 yard line or closer. No one else had more than 5. So that to me is a little bit of stat padding. They get down to the goal line, they give Stafford, you know, the touchdown pass. Stafford had an awesome season. I gave him my second team All Pro. I thought Drake was better.
That you have a savvy journalistic way of answering my question without actually answering my question, so we know who you voted for. Let me ask you this question: is there a head coach in the NFL that did a better job this year than Mike Vrabel?
You know, one coach I loved this year, I absolutely loved him, was Liam Cohen with the Jaguars. You talk about single season turnaround. The Jaguars were right there with the Patriots, and it's a lot of the same players from last year. They didn't have a major, you know, free agency binge. It was a lot. There's still Trevor Lawrence. There's a lot of the same players. And they played a very, very difficult schedule, played in a very tough division. One thing I would say about the Patriots is I do think it was a cream puff schedule. They played not many good quarterbacks. There was a lot of Dylan Gabriels and Cam Wards and Spencer Rattlers and Joe Flaccos. And just, you know, other than two games with Josh Allen and one with Baker Mayfield, they really – and I guess Lamar Jackson for only half a game. He left at halftime, of course. Another example of the Patriots, everything coming up Patriots. But, yeah, I just – you know, the Jaguars had a much tougher schedule, won their division, 13 wins, huge turnaround. No one saw it coming. So I really love the job that Liam Cohen did this year.
Well, Ben, is we really thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast. It's not a lot of time where we got to talk a lot of Patriots on the podcast because – we try to cover everybody and try to keep our bias at bay, but kind of kicking the feet up, cracking a nice Miller Lite and talking about the Patriots is something I'll always do. So I really appreciate you taking the time, man.
No problem. I mean, guys, it's been like, what, 6 whole years since the Patriots have been to a Super Bowl? It's been like such a desert for you Patriots fans.
It's been awful. It's been awful.
You went a whole year with like a bad coach, and you know, it took you the second time to find an MVP caliber quarterback. I mean, just so it's got to be so tough to be a Patriots fan.
Look, I'm 36 years old. I'm 36 years old, and this is the longest playoff drought that I can seemingly remember. So yeah. It was tough. It was hard.
My 6-year-old son has no idea that the Patriots win championships. You know, it's heartbreaking.
Well, I tell the anecdote that my first game that I ever watched was a snowball, so I've been getting lucky since I turned on the TV. Nice. So once again, man, I appreciate you coming on, spending the time with us. We get a lot of opportunities to talk to some amazing people, and you're just adding to that list, man. So we do appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, guys.